It's so good to see each and every one of you this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. I don't know about you. I can go on home. I done praised my God. Amen. Because that's the beauty of singing and praising God, because that's what he requires. John chapter 4 and round about verse number 24. The Bible says God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus says to those disciples that believed in him, "You are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." That's one thing I like about songs, because you can free yourself from the cares of this world and really focus your mind on what's truly important on this time side of life. Church, we have but one chance to get this thing right.
Amen.
Amen. One chance. Hebrews chapter 9 and round about verse number 27, the Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death comes the judgment. So while the blood is running warm in our veins,
yes,
shouldn't we be the most excited? Shouldn't we be the most motivated? I don't know about you, but I am. And it's while the blood is running warm, I want to be like Peter. I want to stir up your mind by way of remembering. Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1, "For if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved," Paul said, "I'm not worried about it. I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And so I don't know about you, that's some of the promises that I focus my mind on to help me to stay focused on this time side of life. Paul said, "Shortly I must put off this tabernacle just like Jesus did." And Paul says that when that day comes, I know good and well I've done what thus saith the Lord. How do you get to that point? By keeping your mind focused on what's truly important. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and round about verse number 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have never told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And I don't know about you. One day he's going to close our eyes, church. And when that day comes, will you be able to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Will you be able to be like the Apostle Paul as he got close to his time of departing this time side of life? He wrote some words to a young gospel preacher, reminding Timothy, "Stay on track, stay focused, and remember from a child you have learned the holy scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation." And then he reminds Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 1, he says, "I charge you, Timothy, before God, that there are some things you got to do."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning, church, there are some things I got to do.
Amen.
I got to tell you, just like a TI is, whether you like it or not.
Amen.
Why? He gonna hold me accountable.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard enough time with the two I got to be accountable for.
Amen.
Or is there three of me? Me, myself, and I. But he's gonna hold us accountable. And so Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, he says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearance and at his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come." What time is it, church? It's that time. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. How many of us sitting here don't want to hear the truth?
Amen.
How many of us sitting here don't really understand that God has saved you to save that world out there?
Amen.
And he's going to hold you accountable. He's going to hold me accountable. He's going to hold Henry accountable, Brother Johnson accountable. And we're going to get a double dose of that holding accountable.
Amen.
And so if that's the case, I'm going to tell you like it is. I'd rather hurt your feelings and save your soul. And so Paul tells this young gospel preacher that the time is going to come. Church, we're living in some times where the word of God is not what folks want to hear. We're living in a time. I remember the time. My son and I were talking about this Just the other day, I remember the time in my household, there was no option to where you would be on the first day of the week. I remember a time in my household, basketball didn't supersede Bible class.
Amen.
I remember the time that my children were obedient to what thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. I remember that time. And now when I look at the time, I see that the world is going this way. But I've made up my mind.
Yes.
I'm going to stick with Jesus.
Right.
You know, Sister Harmon decided to leave. See ya. Don't mean no harm, because she can't save me no way. That's right. Church, somewhere down the line, the child of God reached plateaus in his Christian walk. Why are we so fickle, shackled, and upside down in our lives? Life ain't that difficult.
Nope.
But it is if you don't know Jesus. Because see, when you know him, who holds the world in the hollow of his hand, when you know really Jesus and have that intimate relationship to Jesus. I don't know if y'all been looking on the website, but Henry has a baby's hand and a big hand, touching hands. And it's called relationship. I mean, y'all have taken y'all's hand out of the hand of the man from Galilee. I know you have. You can't judge my heart, no, but I'm a fruit picker. I'm a fruit inspector. And I can tell you've taken your hand out. Look at what's really important to you on this time side of life. Look and ask yourself a question on a scale of 1 to 10. Where is God really? Is he that genie that's on the bottle? That we rub that lamp? You know when all hell break loose?
Yeah.
Boy, you get holy, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen, Walt. You don't have to amen this. I know it's the truth. But as long as things are eased in Zion, do you really need him? Do you really look for him? Church, God has saved us to save this world out here. And I don't want to be neglected in telling you that you ain't doing what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Now, if I'm down your street, how you doing? If I ain't down your street, let me get there, okay? But Paul tells Timothy that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Like I said, I remember the time. Hebrews chapter 10 and round about verse number 23. The Hebrew writer says, let us consider one another, to stir up one another, to provoke one another unto love, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together in the manner of which some is. Do you give an account? Y'all quiet. Don't get quiet. Because let meeting don't come Sunday morning. And don't let Henry and Johnson know where I'm at. We don't need him. It's time to get rid of him. Well, let's reverse that. One of you don't call me. Can I get rid of you? Amen. Church, we're living in some very critical times. And I'm afraid between now and next presidential election, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Looking at the news this morning, a tsunami. Yeah, y'all help me out. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody bigger than me. Headed for the Philippines. Then killed folks. And now it's headed for Japan. Will it take another 9/11 to get you back to the cross? Huh? What is it going to take to really get us to understand that God made you for him? The church should ever be in the state that it's in.
Amen.
But it is. Why? Because we're too busy doing our own thing. And the first thing out of our mouths is, God has blessed me. Has he? Has he? Not according to what Paul tells Timothy here. I don't know how I got there, but this ain't even my lesson. But this don't cost you nothing, you know? You know, that's what I like about the church. And no matter who preaches, you can get some free therapy.
Yeah, talk about it,
and it don't cost you nothing.
Amen.
And guess where the therapy starts? Oh, church, somewhere down the line, this thing ought to motivate us to really understand the will of the Father. I look out today and I see some missing faces from yesterday. Yeah, you didn't think I'd bring it up, did you? Yeah, I'm bringing it up. Where were you? yesterday. I didn't know nothing was going on. That ought to tell you something. How connected are we to the Master? I'm telling you, I remember the time that when we had things for the body of Christ to try to get into the community. And I remember Brother Turner, 80-some years old, 90, almost 90 years old. He said, Brother Harmon, I can't do much. But every time that door was open, he was sitting there to encourage, to motivate, and to remind us, you fight the good fight of faith. What happened? Sister B was hurting yesterday. I got all over. Put that chair down and sit down. But I love her because she was there.
Amen.
So were some of the other ladies. What happened to the rest of y'all? I'm moving. I'm going on. But Paul said, as long as I'm in this tent of this tabernacle, I want to stir you up. Because if we're ever going to make a difference in the community in which we live in, we got to make the difference in our own lives. Did not somebody bring us something yesterday?
Yes.
Do y'all remember that lady driving up?
Yep.
And she gave us some stuff.
Amen.
Is that what the church needs to be doing? See, we need to know our neighbors. And she don't live far from here. What are we doing to really impact the community? This ain't part of my lesson, but it must be on my heart. He goes on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. For after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But Paul reminds his young preacher, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And then Paul reminds Timothy, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. Look at this attitude. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not only me, but he gonna give it to Stan. Amen. See, somewhere down the line, church, if you don't see yourself in the scriptures, you might not be in them.
Mm-hmm.
He says, not only me, but unto all them that love his appearance. Church, one day, God's going to stop time. And when he stops time, where are you going to be? I just wanted to encourage your heart this morning and to remind you, run the race. Stay focused on the cross. Take your eyes off of this world. Because if you don't, you're going to find yourself a guilty distance away from the Lord.
Amen.
Text for this evening, for this morning, for the next few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 26. Title of the lesson, run no matter if nobody goes with you. I'm learning that. I'm learning to run this race. If you go, fine. If you don't go, I'm still going to run it. I'm learning to keep my eyes focused on Jesus and take them off of you. So when I look at you, boy, I see all your faults.
Amen.
And I already know you see mine. Mm-hmm. But look at what Paul says to the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and round about verse number 24. Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you might obtain it. And every man that strive for mastery is tempered in all things. Let that soak in. See, because you go to school. And as you go to school, don't you have to temper yourself?
Yeah.
Don't you have to pace yourself? Don't you have to study, meditate, and take the time if you're going to make the grade?
Amen.
So you can get the diploma?
Yep.
Well, how do you think you're going to get to heaven? If you don't take the time to run the Christian race the way God says.
Right.
To walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John chapter 5, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. How are you going to make this Christian walk work for you if you don't take the time to meditate and study on the word of God? Just like in the secular world, guess what you got to do in your Christian walk? You got to stay in the book, because it's only when you stay in the word of God that you show yourself approved unto God. And so Paul here reminds the believer that as you run the race, and most men know what a race is about. Play football, basketball. You know good and well, if you're going to be anything, you have to take the time and practice and practice and practice. I wonder if that's what the Christian walk is. Practice, practice, and practice. And so Paul says, and every man that strive for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do this to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So I fight, not as one that beateth the air. See, I'm not in this thing for no reason. I'm in it for a purpose. And that purpose is that I'm going to receive my mansion, my robe, and my crown. Amen. I do this because God has promised me to be faithful till he calls me from labor to reward. He said, I'll give you a crown that fadeth not away. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Verse number 25 says, and every man that strive for mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do this to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I so therefore run, not as uncertainty. So I fight not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Run, no matter if no one runs with you. As this year continues to draw to a close, and it just seemed like it just started.
Amen.
You know, is that an age factor thing there? You know, I mean, I just turned 63. Yeah, I'm dawning on 64 already. Come on now. Can't it slow up just a little bit? But as this year draws to a close, church, I want to remind you and encourage you, stay on track. And do not allow Satan to derail you. John chapter 4, remember, God wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. Remember that Jesus said, we are the light, we are the salt of the world. And the only way you stay salted and light and the light is you must stay focused in the word of God. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. As long as we keep our eyes focused on Christ, and we need to constantly focus, refocus our mind on the Lord and the mission that he has set before the church. And there's a mission. It's that our job is to make known the manifold wisdom of God. What does God want you and I to do? To proclaim his gospel to a dying world. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. If there's ever been a time that you and I need to open our eyes, we need to look around us. The world we live in is in a very bad condition.
Amen.
But I guess you can't help the world if you can't help your own household.
Right.
And the only way you're going to help your household is you're going to have to surrender your will to the will of the Father. It starts with the Father, working with the mother, and then reminding the children of what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
See, if there's ever been a time that we need to focus our mind on Christ, look at the world we live in. Hebrews chapter 12 and round about verse number 1 and 2. We got to look to Jesus and we got to focus our minds and remind ourselves that we're not in this thing by ourselves. I guess that's what motivates me. To know that when I struggle, when I go through trials and tribulations, when I don't want to be bothered with myself, there's always somebody that stands there to help me. And that somebody is Jesus when you can't find nobody else.
Amen.
The Hebrew writer said, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, wherefore seeing we are also passed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. We fall off the meat wagon at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because our minds are not really focused on getting up out of here. Amen. You know, we got these, advanced directive. And we hope that's in the really, really, really far distance. We do. But church, if he called right now, what good is the advanced directory if you ain't put your advanced directory in heaven?
Amen.
What good is it to take care of the body and not the soul? I want to challenge us and encourage us. Let's stay on track as this year draws to a close. Let's remember that God has saved us for the purpose of helping those in the world. The Hebrew writer goes on to say, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Hebrew writer says, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And I guarantee you, if you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, you will develop confidence, assurance, and boldness in running this Christian race. Not only will you develop confidence, assurance, and boldness, you will understand that nothing on this time side of life really matters but where I will spend eternity. See, that's not something we think about. We don't think about getting up in the morning dying, do we? Matter of fact, some of us are so afraid of death that when we see it on TV, we flick the channel. Just that scared. Yeah. Nightmares all the time. But see, when you know Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, he gives you a calm that takes you beyond your mere mortal thinking. Point number one, stay in the Word. Amen. If you're going to stay focused as this year draws to a close, you got to stay in the Word of God. Because it's in the Word of God that helps us through the difficult times. I don't know about you. I want to be like the psalmist. The psalmist said, I've hid thy word in thy heart that I might not sin against you. When I fall short of the glory of God, I don't need nobody to tell me. Amen. No, why? Because his word is here. Amen. When I don't do what I'm supposed to do, I don't need you to run no guilt trip on me. Mm-hmm. I already know. And when I haven't been doing what thus saith the Lord, I'm the first one to holler to the Lord, forgive me. Why? Because I don't need anyone to remind me, because I've hid his word in my mind. That's why Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and round about verse number 16, listen, look at what Paul tells this young gospel preacher. Verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou have learned, and have been assured of knowing of whom thou have learned them. Paul tells this young preacher, continue in the things that you've learned. That's what I tell my children. You wouldn't raise like that. No. Amen, Walls. You wasn't brought up like that. Okay. You didn't see me do that. You didn't see me. Amen, Walls. Do we do that anymore? Huh? Y'all quiet. See our kids going astray, we just, well, gone. Good to get rid of you. You know how we think. Come on now. But Paul tells this young preacher to remember the things that you've learned and be confident in what you've learned. In verse number 15, he says, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. See, you got to stay in the Word. 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 17. Paul reminds this young gospel preacher to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. Paul says in verse 16, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto the more of ungodliness. Paul tells this young gospel preacher, you got to stay focused in the Word. And then there's some folks you got to shun. Amen. And he wasn't talking about the folk in the world. I better drop that in. He's talking to Timothy and to the church. Why? Because the whole purpose is to stay focused. Stay focused in the Word. The Word ought to be something that we eat and drink from every single day. The Word ought to be something that is the most important thing in our lives, even above our own lives. And I'm learning that when the Word is really where it belongs in your life, God will teach you how to shut your mouth. Amen. Amen. He'll teach you how to love somebody that's unlovable. And he'll teach you how to forgive, forget, and move to the next level. Why? Because that's what the word will teach you. See, we need to be like the psalmist. Psalms division 1, verses 1 through 6. The psalmist says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a plant, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. His leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does, he prospers. The ungodly is not so, but is like the chaff which the wind driveth. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Stay in the word. Stay focused in the word. Let the word be the motivating factor in your everyday life. And I guarantee you, you'll learn how to smile. I guarantee you, if you pick up this book every single day, you'll learn how to forgive, forget, and move to the next level. And you know what? This world won't tie you every way. Because when you stay in this here, there's some freedom. Mm-hmm. You're looking at me funny. John chapter 8. Verse 31, Jesus said to those disciples that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Free from what, Jesus? Worried about tomorrow. Amen, walls. Free from worried about where your next meal is coming from. Free from worried about when someone passes from this life to another life. Why? Because it's only in the word of God that you can get the comfort that frees you. Not only does it free you, God guards you. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and following. God frees us and gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. The psalmist said, Psalms 119 and verse number 97. He says, oh, how I love thy law. It is the meditation all my days. Through thy commandments, thou hast made me wiser than my enemies, for thou art ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep your words. I have not departed from your judgment, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. You ever wonder why you stumble and bumble so much? Huh? You ever wonder why? What's guiding you? What's directing you? See, that's why he left his spirit. So the spirit of God can help us in this world in which we live in. Point number two, stay unspotted. The only way you stay unspotted, you got to stay in the book. The only way you know what God requires of you is through a regular diet of the word of God and a constant examination to whether or not you're doing what he says. You know, it's easy to come in here on Sunday morning. Yeah. Amen, Walls. Wednesday, amen, Walls. You can come prepared or unprepared, but it's easy to do. But the true child of God exercises his mind in the word of God. And therefore, when he steps out of line, he knows exactly what he needs to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and round about verse number 5. Look at what Paul says, that we as believers need to learn how to do every single day of our life. Paul says, examine yourself, whether or not you be in the faith. He says, prove your own self. Know you not that Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. Paul says, examine yourself. And I'm learning that when you examine yourself, you don't got time for nobody else. Amen, boys. Amen. I've learned to keep my mouth shut.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And seeing in my household, I get it from all sides. Amen. And it's good because you know what? That sharpens me. And that reminds me that I'm just a man just like everybody else. James chapter 1. And round about verse number 21, James says, wherefore, laying aside all filthiness and superfluid of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. For if any man is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes away and straightway forget what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein and be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any among you seem to be religious and bridles not the monster behind the pearly white, I better read that again. Okay. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I could spend the next hour on that, just that little passage right there. But I won't, because you got to keep looking in here, and you got to learn how to control you. And the only way that you're going to control you is with the book. I can't control you. I can't control Sister Harmon. Matter of fact, I can't even control me. Amen. Amen. Without the Spirit of God working in me. And so he says in verse number 27, but pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted. Final point, stay on track. And in staying on track, make your calling in election year. If you don't make heaven your home, you know how we have all these excuses, you know. You know, the devil made me do it. You know, you know us. You know how we make all these excuses. Well, no. If you don't make heaven your home, the only person you're going to have to blame is yourself. Because as long as we stay rooted and grounded in the truth and look into the perfect law of liberty, you will be assured of making heaven your home. You're looking at me funny. Let me show you. 2 Peter chapter 1. And around about verse number 3, Peter says, according as his divine power is given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who have called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brother, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And then he says in verse 11, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 12, Peter says, wherefore, I will not be negligent and put you always in memory of these things, though you know them, and been established in this present truth. Peter says, you know what to do. Amen. What's the problem? Just decide we just don't want to do it. And so Peter says, yet I think it's me, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in memory, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Church, I know one day I'm going to leave here. And I know that when I leave here, there's going to be a lot of crying. But I want you to remember, if I've done what Jesus said, go on and weep. But don't weep as folks that have no hope. Because I plan to remain steadfast to the Lord. Amen. All of us fall short. Amen. Amen. But we shouldn't stay short. Amen. Somewhere down the line, we should be standing tall, shouldn't we? Yeah. Somewhere. But if you're always falling short, you got to ask yourself a question. Am I really doing what thus saith the Lord? Because somewhere down the line, God raises you to a higher plateau. Hope I've said something to encourage your heart this morning, church. Just want to remind you and encourage you that we're in a race. And this race that we're in, who's going to make the finish line? When death comes, the race is over. And the question is, when it's over, did you make the finish line or did you fall short? I want to encourage you, members of the body of Christ, God's going to hold you and I more accountable than the alien sin. And I guess that's what really bothers me. Because we know the truth. And see, and when you know the truth and you practice the truth, God's going to hold us more accountable. He says, to much that is given, much is required. You've been given salvation. You don't think he's going to hold you accountable for your family members that are not in the body? Y'all quiet. Let me bring it on down home. You think he's going to hold you accountable if you neglect to tell your children what thus saith the Lord?
Yes.
You think he's going to hold you accountable if you see me going astray and you neglect to tell me?
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to hold us all accountable. That's why James said in James chapter 3, be not many teachers or preachers, for greater is your condemnation. Church, one day he's going to stop time. And I want to remind us, as believers, the wise man on the face of the earth said, he who wins souls is wise. When's the last time you brought someone to the Lord? When's the last time you surrendered your will to the Lord? Only you can answer these questions. But in the day of judgment, he's going to hold us all accountable for the things we've done in this body. And I want to encourage you, as this year draws to a close, we're trying to be on the move. Question is, you going to move with us or we going to just move around you? Amen. If you're moving with us, it's time for us to roll up our sleeves. There's somebody out there that needs us.
Amen.
Amen. There's some folks that are hurting that needs the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are visiting may not have obeyed from the heart of the gospel, may not have been added to the body of Christ. I want you to know this message is really for you, as well as it is here for us. John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God developed a plan after man messed up in the Garden of Eden. That plan was is that he would send his Son to be the sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. And Jesus came, hung on that cross, died for your sins. He doesn't ask very much from you. Believe that I am who I am. Repent of your sins. Be buried in water, and I'll add you to the body, which is the church. Whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing.